Support for the Projection Booth podcast comes from Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of the Projection Booth and thousands of other podcasts on the go without downloading or syncing. Stitcher instantly delivers episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone and Android app stores or on the web at stitcher.com/booth.
As the countdown begins to the 21st century, it's good to know there is still one number you can always count on.
00. And 00.
I'm Secret Agent 00.
You really? A miniature Bond.
You're our main man. We got a whole bunch of new gadgets to help you on the case. And this ring here can detect all poisons. I know it's dopey looking, but it's a weapon. And I mean a lethal weapon. Your gadgets, 00.
It's like he's in league with the devil.
Right.
He's a mass killer, 00. Who will be next to go?
Crazy about you, Agent 00. Are you a sexual animal?
I don't know.
Shall we get it on?
You're such a little guy, though. Very petite, like a potato.
Now, yeah, let's go.
I like a little.
I'm Secret Agent 00.
It was a pleasure meeting you, 00.
They're big on drugs and... they're into kidnapping, as well as protection. I told them I said I wasn't interested, and well, now I get shot at once or twice a week. Please, you make a single mistake, and you'll be dead.
No, it could be the end of the world.
The forces of good are our sworn enemy, and must be exterminated, and I mean lethally. You got it, boss.
Welcome to the Projection Booth. I'm your host, Mike White. Joining me is my partner in crime, the nefarious Mr. Rob St. Mary.
Warning, you must be this short to listen to this podcast.
Also joining us from clear around the globe is Andrew Leopold.
Hi, how are you? It feels like you're perched on my chest right now trying to steal my oxygen.
Just like that little creature in Cat's Eye. That'd be awesome. This week, we're talking about the Filipino action film For Your Height Only, starring the singular Weng Weng. This film from Eddie Neikart tells the story of Agent 003.5. Weng Weng gets the women. Weng Weng kills the bad guys. Weng Weng squares off against the evil Mr. Giant. And all the while, Weng Weng stood only about 2 feet 9 inches tall. Andrew, I want to ask you about your history with Weng Weng, but first, there are a ton of things I want to know about this movie and Weng Weng himself that I want answered. First off, what's with the name, the whole For Your Height Only, but with the apostrophe instead of the O?
It's because it's a very Filipino thing to do. If you spend a lot of time listening to Tagalog, they do tend to truncate words. There are certain consonants that aren't used in Tagalog. For instance, they don't say TH. There's no such thing as the in Tagalog. And so when you have a film like The Wild Wild Weng, it's actually known as D apostrophe Wild Wild Weng, D Wild Wild Weng, or Da Best in Da West. To drop the O off is very common in Weng Weng land.
Well, where is Weng Weng land for those who are uninitiated?
Deep in the Filipino archipelago. Weng Weng was born in one of the 16 sister cities of Manila in Metro Manila called Baclaran. He grew up in one of the poorest parts of Manila. And it turns out he passed away in the same house in the poorest part of Manila. But that's another story.
What year did this come out? I see different years for this thing, and I've seen different names for it, too.
Well, it was always assumed that For Your Hide only came out in 79, and I think that was part of the avalanche of misinformation surrounding not only the film, but also the star, Wang Wang. It was, in fact, released in September 1981 in the Philippines and then made its introduction to the international film market via Dick Randall at the Manila International Film Festival in January 1982. And at that festival, you know, which was meant to be a showcase for artsy Filipino films and, you know, quality stuff, the only film of any significance that sold just happened to be For Your Hide Only, and it went global. All of a sudden, we started seeing posters from Pakistan and Mexico and the Middle East and Finland and, you know, a video release in South Africa and places like that. The film, remarkably for a Filipino goon comedy, just went viral.
What do you think it is about this film that gave it some legs, so to speak, and caught the attention, as you said?
Well, you mean like little 9-inch legs. It's not just the fact that you've got a karate-kicking midget in the film. I mean, that would get pretty old pretty quick, I think. And the fact that the film has not only been sold internationally, you know, over the last 30-odd years, but the fact that it maintains its kind of cult status means that there's something else going on there. And I suspect that it's the personality of Wang Wang itself. There's something about Wang Wang, to paraphrase the Farrelly brothers, that means that there's a much deeper connection than just sheer novelty or chutzpah value. And that's something that I'm trying to explore in The Search for Wang Wang, the fact that there is a kind of aura of special about him. Not quite sure what it is, but I'm still trying to come to grips with that 20-something years on.
How many films did he make?
When I first went to the Philippines in 2006, at the time I'd seen For Your Hide Only and its sequel, The Impossible Kid, and there were rumors of a third film, which may have been a Western, which would have been bizarre. And that was it. No information on the internet or in reference books. And so I started going to the film archives and had a contact at a video store in Manila called Video 48. This guy used to go to the newspaper archives and would dig up old newspaper ads. And I said to him, please find me anything on Wang Wang. And of course, you know, people in the Philippines, when I start getting on a Wang Wang roll, they roll their eyes and say, sure, whatever you want, you crazy wide-eyed devil. And so all of a sudden, these titles started appearing, going right the way back to 1977, which is a full 4 years before For Your Hide Only. All of a sudden, you've got these Tagalog titles like Sila Sabawat Bangkita, which means We the Children of the Street. It was a sort of a crime syndicate story about orphans stealing money for a crime syndicate. That was Wang Wang's first credited role. And that was also a Lilu production, the guys who were behind For Your Hide Only. Then all of a sudden there's films like Chop Suey Met Big Time Papa, which just sounds preposterous. And it's Wang Wang versus the Bruce Lee of the Philippines, Ramon Zamora. These films I've never been able to track down whatsoever. They may be with the producer, but the producer is beyond two phone calls, just not talking to me for one reason or another. And then, of course, there are all these cameo roles that he did in the King of Comedy, Dolphy's films, like The Quick Brown Fox, Da Best in Da West, and a gay musical called Starry.
Your article that was in Cashews to Cinema Art 17, along with Rob's amazing article about Bloodsucking Freaks, but yours was all about Filipino exploitation films. You kind of go into the whole thing of just all the Bond clones and the Bruce Lee ripoffs and all this. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like the whole Italian cycle that we talked to Mike Malloy about, where the Italians would get an idea from another culture and kind of beat it to death, like all the Hercules films and the spaghetti westerns. But yeah, it seems like the Filipino stuff was just kind of almost like that on steroids. Was that kind of the case? Am I saying that right?
No, you're absolutely spot on. The Philippines does have a copycat culture, more so than Italy. And the most remarkable thing about that is that they're also doing carbon copies of carbon copies. And so when spaghetti westerns hit big time in the 60s, you saw literally hundreds of would-be spaghetti westerns coming out of the Philippines, you know, with Filipino cowboys riding horses on the high plains of Pampanga, you know what I mean, shooting six guns at what look like Mexican villains but are in fact Filipino hacienda owners. It was just bizarre. And the other thing that's worth noting is that it was usually the smaller films that would get theatrical distribution in the Philippines back in the 60s and 70s. Not everyone could afford a James Bond film, but they could afford an Italian equivalent or a Spanish knockoff. And so the films that filmmakers were watching were usually second or third rung copies of Hollywood films. And so you've got this incredible kind of snake eating its own tail effect where, you know, culture is literally eating itself in the Philippines.
Well, the other thing that's weird about the Philippines is that it just, I'm not that familiar with the country, but it just seems like it's so much a product of colonialism too.
Very much. And also and not only American colonialism, but Spanish colonialism before that. There are the deep scars of the Japanese occupation in the 1940s. Even before the Spanish came in the 1500s, it was a base for Muslim traders and Malay traders. So you've always had this rich cultural traffic flowing through the Philippines, and the country is very much an amalgam of so many different influences. Catholicism, of course, being one of the deep overriding influences in the Philippines, but also American pop culture, which was brought in by the Americans as an attempt to exorcise the Spanish demons of stage culture and literature and that kind of thing. They had a deliberate program of replacing Spanish language and Spanish culture with comic books, radio, and Hollywood cinema. And it was incredibly successful. You had, you know, several generations weaned at the teeth of Hollywood. And it was second nature for them to be able to do a Filipino version of what they've already seen at the movies. And that hybrid of local filmmaking, local storytelling, and outside influences creates this incredible mutant creature, which is the Filipino genre film, which the more I watch, you know, the more I find fascinating.
Which is interesting to me because, to be honest, before I saw this, I can't really recall that I've seen too many Filipino films, you know, films actually made by Filipinos in the Philippines, outside of we did Raw Force as an episode a few months back.
Oh, man, I love that film.
But, I mean, I think the Philippines is probably best known as a location to a lot of us who really enjoy 70s exploitation film, because that's where a lot of the women in prison films were shot that Roger Corman and others were doing at the time.
Absolutely. And that American invasion started in the 50s. You know, they were making World War II films in the early 60s, exotic adventure films. Ingrid Pitt was in a science fiction film made there called The Amigans. There was some crazy stuff made before the Blood Island films, which were really crazy, taken up to the next level. And then you had an enormous invasion of filmmakers trying to do B-grade horror films and fantasy films. That goes all the way through the 70s. Then come the Platoon films, the Mad Max ripoffs. That's just one element of the story. The other element is the fact that Filipino filmmakers were either making films for the international market off their own steam, or they were taking local films, dubbing them into English, and then putting them out into the global market through Cannes Film Festival, American Film Market, Milan, whatever channel they could get them out to. And those films, as far as I'm concerned, are even more fascinating than the Roger Corman women in prison films and thousands of would-be platoons and Hamburger Hills, because you really do have these mad tangents running through all these films. I mean, they're literally making up the rules of filmmaking as they go along, these Tagalog filmmakers. And that mutant creature that I'm talking about, that, as far as I'm concerned, is the most exotic film creature of them all. And For Your Height Only really is, with the exception of Dick Randall's involvement as executive producer, he saw Agent 00, the Wang Wang film that was made just before For Your Hide Only. It was only done for the local market, but he obviously saw something in Wang Wang that could be exploited on an international level. And he then guided Eddie Nickard and the producers, Peter and Cora Caballias, through the filmmaking process and really did end up with a film that could be dubbed into any language and sold all over the world. And it was.
As for the film itself, For Your Hide Only, how did it really come about? I mean, from your research and talking to people, I don't know if you talked to any people that actually worked on the film. What was sort of, you know, the idea? How did they kind of come to this odd sort of mashup of, obviously it's referencing James Bond with the title and sort of the idea of a super agent?
The James Bond spoof has been very much a staple of Filipino pop culture since 1964. And I was mentioning before about Dolphy, the king of Philippine comedy. He was, until he passed away middle of last year, an absolute institution in the Philippines. He was like Jerry Lewis, Bob Hope, and any other recent obnoxious American comedian combined. He made, I think, a total of something like 280 films, and a good proportion of them were James Bond knockoffs. He was a Dollfinger, or Agent 0210, which means fart in Tagalog. There was this avalanche in the 60s of James Bond knockoffs. Him and another guy called Chiquito, they were like competing with each other to try and bring out one of these James Bond spoofs every 2 weeks at one point. And so Wang Wang's For Your Hide Only is very much in that tradition of taking recent pop culture icons or references and just putting them through the Filipino mangling machine, and out comes their spoof at the end of it, whatever the hell it is. At that time, of course, For Your Eyes Only was doing the rounds at the cinema. It's not a big leap to go For Your Height Only, starring a 2'9" midget. And of course, Wang Wang had already been in another secret agent film called The Quick Brown Fox. That was another Dolphy James Bond spoof. So it's just exhausting once you start following the trail backwards.
Yeah, you know, one thing I was really surprised about watching both For Your Hide Only and the kind of, I guess, follow-up, The Impossible Kid, was the running time. I would think that a movie like this would be, you know, 90 minutes tops, but it's solid 2 hours. When I saw that on my little, you know, countdown clock, I was like, really? 2 hours long. It takes its time getting there.
That's regulation running time in the Philippines. It's almost like Bollywood films being regulation 3 hours. Tagalog films must be 2 hours. I think For Your Hide Only was chopped down to 90 minutes for international release. But if you went to a cinema in Manila, you'd be sitting there doing the hard yards as well.
You mentioned that the film was kind of ready to be dubbed and put into any market. I have to say the dubbing makes this movie kind of stand out for me. Just, it almost seems to be making fun of itself through the dubbing.
Yeah, I think without the dubbing, the film would be amusing and pretty great. But with the soundtrack on top of it, it takes the film into a different universe. You know, one where people are doing Peter Lorre impressions and Humphrey Bogart. And all I can say is I think I tracked down one of the voices. He's not sure if he actually remembers doing the recording session. He's a half African-American, half Filipino guy called Jim Gaines, who's in a whole bunch of kung fu and action films in the 70s and 80s. And he said, yeah, I think I was there, because he was doing a lot of work with Dick Randall in the Philippines at the time. And he said, yeah, if it's the one I think it is, I think we just got drunk and stoned for 3 days, man, and we just made it up as we went along. And I went, that explains it. That is the missing ingredient, clearly. I still listen to that film, and I think I've seen it about 60 or 70 times, and the soundtrack gets me every time. I just can't help but sit there and titter like a schoolgirl.
Nobody could begin to guess. There's a lot of dough in this dough. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
The editing, the pacing is kind of odd. Like, there's edits and things going on in there that I think is either they didn't know exactly what they were doing, or maybe this is sort of standard within Filipino filmmaking, because some of the stuff, it's like the reactions take a beat longer than they need to.
You really got to look at the career of Eddie Nickart, the director. This was his second film after Agent 00. The Caballias, the producers, decided to give Eddie a shot at directing after he was the stunt director on some of the earlier films like Sila Sabawat Bankitar and Chop Suey Met Big Time Papa. Eddie was one of the most celebrated stunt actors in the Philippines, going right back to the early 60s. And if you're a stunt guy, and seriously, in the Philippines, the culture, the film culture, celebrates these guys. They call them goons because they all kind of travel in packs and look like gorillas and just endlessly smoke cigarettes and play the bad guys in just about every film that comes out in the Philippines. If you're a stunt guy, then your career path can take two directions. Either you work your way up behind the camera as stunt director and then possibly writer and director, or if you go in front of the cameras, it's stunt guy, character actor, supporting actor, and then leading hero or villain, beta or contra beta. Eddie decided, after a pretty successful career, which included starring opposite Burt Reynolds in Impasse back in 1969, Eddie did this amazing stunt where he was punching the shit out of Burt Reynolds, then did a flying leap off a second-story window onto a moving jeepney. Burt apparently was so impressed with Eddie and the SOS Daredevils, the stunt team that he was working with, that he bought them a Jeep. He said, "I'm a stuntman, and you guys are the best that I've ever seen." Eddie then kind of worked his way up to stunt director extraordinaire and then had ambitions to direct as well. If you've got a stuntman directing a film who just doesn't quite understand film craft, you're going to be putting all your stunt buddies and every goon that you could possibly find, stick them in front of the camera and give them as much camera time as you could possibly give them, because it's, you know, it's like a system of patronage where I've worked on your film, you work on mine. That's why For Your Eyes Only has something like 7 or 8 different villains, and they all get equal screen time and they all get their own spectacular death. That's what I think is going on in that film, and that's why it's just not right, if you know what I mean.
One of the most dangerous things about this movie, looking at all the goons, it's Mustache City, man. Those mustaches could kill you at 50 paces.
They could cut a diamond, I swear to God. And the floral shirts, wow, you know, this is like opening a treasure chest of bad 70s fashion. Ah, it's just absolutely glorious. And then, of course, you've got the music on top of it, which is like a variation on every James Bond theme that came before it. You've got 4 pieces of music and they're just beaten to death all the way through it. I've actually found that piece of music in other Tagalog action films that came before it. So the composer obviously got his paycheck and went, "No one's going to know that I've stolen my own work," and just put everything that was on hand into the film, which just happened to be 3 James Bond rips and bap, 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 bap.
Well, they paid for it. They're going to use it, right?
You've got to wonder how big their paycheck is. You know, it's in direct proportion to their star.
Well, talking about the production value in this thing, I mean, Mike and I are huge fans of 70s exploitation film. And as I was watching it, I go, you know, the fight scenes are really good, but it's almost Dolomite level production value.
Oh, you bet. I mean, I think the final tally was something like less than 50,000 US, which was a pretty big budget film for a Filipino goon actioner. That would have been because Dick Randall would have been digging deep in his pockets, not renowned as the biggest tipper in the room. Dick, of course, was based in Hong Kong at the time, and would go regularly into Thailand or the Philippines looking for, you know, opportunities to make a quick buck. So 50 grand gives you a film that is so threadbare, but is still pretty good as far as Philippine standards go. And when you actually look at how much money that film made, I think it made in excess of 1 million. That's a 2,000% return on your investment. Dick would have been rubbing his hands together going, "Yes, the little guy's paid off like a loose slot."
So, of course, that calls to mind the whole idea of the sequel and everything with The Impossible Kid, where they had enough money to kind of give Wang Wang his own theme song, which was terrific. Wang Wang, I love you, my Wang Wang.
and that really is the highlight of the film. That and his motorcycle ride over what looks like pretty thick wire between, you know, the two banks of a creek, and his walk between the two buildings. When I tracked down Eddie Nickart, the director, he said, "Would you like to see my tool bag?" Luckily, that wasn't lost in translation. He pulls out his stunt kit and he said, "Well, this is the wire that Wang Wang walked between two buildings on. This is the wire that threaded through the umbrella when he jumps off the building in For Your Height Only using his umbrella." I swear, man, like, as a Wang Wang obsessive, that was almost like touching a holy relic. That, and I spent the whole time, you know, touching Eddie Nickart's arm going, "I love you. I love you."
Talking about some of those production values, there's certain things that I find really interesting in the film. One is there's like the least sexy disco dancing scene you're ever going to see.
Yeah, followed by one of the most disturbing seduction scenes ever filmed.
Yeah. The one thing I really love about this, because obviously I've seen a lot of James Bond movies as a kid. As a matter of fact, my mother being from Scotland, I have a joke that Sean Connery is the patron saint of all Scottish American households. And whenever there's a James Bond film starring Mr. Connery, you will sit down and watch it in our house. Oh. But the Q scene, as I want to call it, where he gets all the gadgets, that thing is hilarious.
The guy sitting behind the counter is the original James Bond of the Philippines, Tony Ferrer, who played Tony Falcon, Agent X-44. He made something like 30-odd of these adventures from the mid-60s to the late 70s. And so he's parodying himself, sitting behind the desk as Agent X-44, looking at a miniature version of himself in his trademark white suit. You know, this is one of the jokes that, unless you've seen a lot of these Filipino films, you're just not going to get. They're self-referential not just to outside pop culture, but to Filipino exploitation cinema itself. That's also seen in the casting of all the goons, like Max Alvarado, the guy with the Tam O'Shanty tartan hat, Rodolfo Boy Garcia, the one who's constantly smoking and says, "One day you're going to wake up and find yourself dead." All of those guys are like the classic bad guys of Philippine exploitation cinema. And the fact that they're all there in the one film means that it's a celebration of Pinoy goon culture, as well as a ripoff of overseas James Bond films. And that scene is just awesome. And the dubbing just is absolutely perfect. You could just tell that was not the original script.
00, I called you here because of the kidnapping of Von Kohler. You got a bug in your hair? Seriously, though, you know you're our main man. We got a whole bunch of new gadgets to help you on the case. I think you're going to like them. Needless to say, they cost a fortune. Only two people will have this pendant here. You, 00, and the pretty broad we infiltrated into the syndicate. Two-way communication. And this ring here can detect all poisons made out of gold. Platinum was too expensive. Our budget is a problem. You understand? It's specially built. It's really a humdinger. You got a silencer and a full clip. It's well known that you're a gun expert. I know it's dopey looking, but it's a weapon. And I mean a lethal weapon. And the main control is in your little ring. Pop the little Watsit, and you release the blade. Your pen looks ordinary, and yet specially built. Another weapon. It won't write words, but you can't have everything. I like the way you pay attention. Now, this is very interesting. Inside this buckle is a gang of gimmicks. A mighty handy item. It's got many uses. Slice of steel bars. I'd keep it handy. The piece resistance. You know what these are for, 00, huh? It's a beaut. A real winner. Your gadgets, 00. Eh? You're a man of few words. I like that.
It won't write words, but you can't have everything.
Well, what he does get is the best pair of X-ray specs you're ever going to get.
Crystal clear. Absolutely. And everyone's naked under clothes. Brilliant. And the look on Wang Wang's face where he then walks out into the secretary's office, sticks on his glasses, and starts tittering as he's waving at these naked girls behind their typewriters. Just genius.
So in the oeuvre of Wang Wang, how does this one stack up against other films? Is this the top of the pile for you, or are there other Wang Wang films that you like even more than this one?
No, For Your Eyes Only is the holy grail. Not only is it the most coherent film, which, you know, is being kind, but also it's a one-off dubbing experience. Because Dick Randall didn't follow up with the sequels, and that's why they're so remarkably different in tone and sound. We have this one-off Dick Randall meets Wang Wang experience, which is just astounding. It's beyond words. The sequels in English, Impossible Kid, and the one where Wang Wang plays a government agent in a Wild West town, Da Wild Wild Wang. They're interesting, and they've got some great moments, but they're not going to stack up with, you know, the gold that is For Your Hide Only. They never could. Then again, you've got the Tagalog films, the 7 or 8 or 9 Tagalog films that have never been translated. I've seen 3 of them. Wang Wang's only in a small part in them, but Dolphy is another guy who could have an entire documentary made about it. Dolphy, the king of comedy, was just great. And I managed to track him down for the Search for Wang Wang documentary as well before he passed away last year, and got some great stories about him. As I said in the Cashier's article, playing Ed McMahon to a 2-foot, Johnny Carson.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the Search for Wang Wang. But first, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more about For Your Height Only after these messages.
This is Jamie from Devour the Podcast. Do you enjoy horror commentary with straightforward honesty?
Oh my God, this movie. This movie's so hard.
Oh my goodness. You know, halfway through this movie, I was just like, let's get this thing going.
This movie. Humor and an obvious passion for the genre.
I'll kick him in the face.
I like the cut of your jib. The ceiling, Grandma. Don't make me get out the broom. Oh, your tears are like wine. They used to call that the vapors. Cupcakes are kind of the Schindler's List of desserts. It's a pure good. I love the idea of up-and-coming horror directors taking on the found footage genre. I really, really like that idea.
And that's really the worst thing you can commit as far as filmmaking is concerned, is making a film that's just average.
Well, that doesn't really inspire any kind of discussion, whether it's, you know, to rip it apart or praise it.
Then you should spend time with David and me.
And Bo.
As we discuss horror films from old classics.
Deep Red. Empire of the Ants. Lisa and the Devil. The Baby. The Toxic Avengers.
The new favorites.
Absentia. Cabin in the Woods. The Loved Ones. Shadow of Death. VHS. The Woman.
Check us out on iTunes or at devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. Devour the Podcast is a proud member of the Horrorphilia Podcasting Network.
Everyone wants to spice things up in the bedroom. Here's an offer you won't want to miss. For a limited time, you'll get 50% off just about any one item at AdamandEve.com. Yes, get 50% off when you use the coupon code BOOTH at checkout, as in John Wilkes Powers or the Projection Booth. But that's not all. You'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs and free shipping on your entire order. Too good to be true? It's not. Check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Once again, that coupon code is BOOTH at AdamandEve.com.
We interrupt our program with a special bulletin.
Okay, here we go. This is it.
Greetings and salutations.
Listen!
I'm Josh Gravel.
And I'm Scott LaFave.
Oh, good for you!
We want to let you know about the Arkham Film Society.
We're a small group of cinephiles programming classic, horror, cult, and exploitation film events in the Providence, Rhode Island area.
Have such sights to show you.
We try to meet a need for unconventional programming by providing affordable film events through our monthly screening series.
Be one of us.
Find us on Facebook and join our group by searching for the Arkham Film Society at facebook.com/Arkham Screening.
Join us.
Check out our blog at arkhamfilmsociety.blogspot.com.
And stop by our Etsy and buy stuff at etsy.com/people/Arkham Screening.
Yes, sir! You, sir! Already, I'm hip.
We now return control of your television set to you.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Thank you.
back and we're talking to Andrew Leovold about For Your Height Only and this wonderful, bizarre Filipino export and all kinds of stuff that he knows about Filipino film. Now, you alluded to a bit earlier, sir, about your history with Wang Wang, and it's my understanding that you're currently working on a documentary?
Yeah, feature-length documentary called The Search for Wang Wang.
Now, this has been quite a few years in the works, right?
It started in 2006 when I first went to the Philippines. And as a guest of a film festival, I thought, well, I've got a video camera in one hand. Why don't I start trying desperately to find, you know, the real story of Wang Wang, not just the storm of misinformation and mismanagement on the internet, but actually find the people who worked with him and maybe even Eddie Nickart, the director. So I started digging. And it was amazing just how much people had forgotten in the 30 years since For Your Height Only was made. People couldn't even remember his real name, whether he was alive or dead, what happened to him after the film, where he'd come from before his career as an actor. And so it was just frustrating. And that first trip, I managed to stumble into his editor just by blind chance outside the film museum. I found Jim Gaines, who claimed to be one of the voices on For Your Height Only, stumbling into him in the gutter outside the Film Academy of the Philippines. Walked into a takeaway restaurant and said, are any of you guys in the film industry? And about eight out-of-work goons go, yeah, over here. It turns out they were Wang Wang co-stars. But that's as far as I got on that first trip in 2006. And I thought if I was making a film about the search for Wang Wang, then this is what it's going to be about, running into dead ends, you know, within a culture that has literally forgotten one of its most novel and sensational pop culture artifacts of 1981. Then I got a phone call from Jim saying, you know that Bruno Mattei is back in town. This was in February 2007. He said he's making a zombie film in Parañaque. And, dude, I've got you an invitation to come to the set. So, you know, sold a couple more organs, went across for the second trip with the camera in tow, and then began this incredible journey of leapfrogging from one person to another who all worked with Wang Wang and all gave me a tiny piece to fit into the puzzle until I finally tracked down Eddie Nickart. So I was sitting in his trophy room in Tai Tai Village, and I said, and I thought, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to Wang Wang. Do you remember his name? He said, not really. I said, oh, man, you trained him as a stuntman. You know, do you know where he come from? I said, no, not really. Don't remember this. And I said, well, is he alive or dead? Oh, I think he might be dead. And I thought, right, that is the search for Wang Wang, finally coming as close as you possibly can get and running into another brick wall. Then the same guy who found Eddie Nickart for me said, I found the brother. And I went, here we go. A couple of days later, I was face to face with a 5'5" copy of Wang Wang, who then gave me Wang Wang's incredible life story. And I discovered that the real story was so much more incredible and outrageous than the misinformation that had been circulating on the internet trying to fill in the gaps in Wang Wang's life before. So I thought, now I have my documentary, but didn't realize that was still another 5-6 years to go until the documentary can finally be completed.
Now, you go over there and you're talking to all these folks, and I think you alluded to it a little bit. They think you're crazy. They're like, why do you want to know about this guy? Why do you care about this guy? Is that sort of the reaction that you got? You're like, yeah, well, we worked with him, or yeah, we were a fan, but really, I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, they think the idea is preposterous that I would even consider doing a documentary about, you know, their 2'9", you know, James Bond, who's now, you know, been dead, it turns out, for the last 21 years. But they end up sharing in your madness, I've discovered. The more you get to know them, they go, well, you know, you clearly love this stuff and you have this weird connection with Wang Wang. God only knows why. They end up indulging you and you end up just hanging out and then eventually becoming friends with all of the guys that used to work with Wang Wang. It's kind of surreal when I think back over the 7 years since Search for Wang Wang began, just how far I came. I mean, I'll give you a for instance. July last year, I was sitting at a dinner table at Imelda Marcos's 83rd birthday party and thought, how the hell did I get here? And then I thought, that's right. I had this outrageous idea that I would actually ask her if it was true that Wang Wang used to visit her and Ferdinand Marcos at the presidential palace when he was at his most famous. And so I set up a camera in her mansion in Marcos country and said, do you remember Wang Wang? And she said, yes. I said, did he visit the palace? Yes. I said, why? And she said, because we loved him. And I think that's one of the money shots of the documentary. It's probably another reason why it's taken so long, because I needed to get someone of such incredible stature to say even I, the former first lady of the Philippines, loved a long dead midget.
And she also raved about his shoes, correct?
Yeah, they were so tiny. I could only fit them on my big toe. It's true.
But she had 50,000 pairs of them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the ironic thing is that I didn't even look at her shoes once. I've been screamed at for the last 8 months that I'd missed the golden opportunity to finally fulfill a first lady foot fetish. But it was not to be.
Andrew, I got to ask, which came first, the love of Filipino films or the love of Wang Wang? How did you kind of get into this?
I'd seen films made in the Philippines before, you know, like the Big Bird Cage and War Force and films like that. But I was never really conscious of a Filipino film culture or an industry that was making such films. And I think it was For Your Hide Only that finally gave me a glimmer of a consciousness about the Philippines and about the kind of films that were being made there. And I guess it was just an intense fascination with finding out what kind of country could make a film like this. You know, realizing that films don't appear out of a vacuum. They obviously have some kind of cultural resonance. I wanted to find out more. The more I started researching those films, and I was obsessed with other Filipino action films, like They Call a Cleopatra Wong and The One-Armed Executioner, you know, the crazy films of Bobby A. Suarez, the Sirio Santiago films like W is War. Have you ever seen that one? This sort of gay, satanic post-apocalypse film with bald bikers.
That sounds like my Thursday.
Please send me an email and tell me that you were touched. But all of these films, you know, were coming out at the rate of, you know, hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds. So I thought the only way that I can seriously get my head around this is to jump headfirst into a research project that labels them, catalogs them, watches them and reviews them. And of course, the search for Wang Wang started to mutate out of that. As I started getting a handle on Philippine film culture, I thought I can actually talk about this film and place it into context, and then eventually wrap Wang Wang's story in there as a parallel tale to the tale of the Philippine film industry. How, you know, it's kind of like the little guy who is exploited by its outside influences and then ends up essentially outliving its usefulness and is thrown on the scrap heap. If you want to talk about Wang Wang's life story, that's exactly what happened to him.
So when it came to Machete Maidens, they kind of just focused in on just one tiny sliver of what was going on with the Filipino film industry at that time. How did you get involved with that one?
Well, I'd sold Search for Wang Wang to a Brisbane producer who then decided that the best course of action would be to take the documentary to one of the national broadcasters, ABC Television or SBS, the ethnic broadcaster, who then, you know, put in a substantial amount of money to then have broadcast rights in Australia and can then on-sell those broadcast and distribution rights overseas. The Search for Wang Wang was put in front of ABC. They said, we're interested, but... And the big but was we want to change it, and we want it more like Not Quite Hollywood, which was quite a successful documentary by Mark Hartley several years before about the Australian drive-in industry. You know, Veronica, the producer, and I used to joke that the last film we wanted to make was Not Quite Manilawood. And all of a sudden, there was a gun to my head saying, change it and get that guy, get that Not Quite Hollywood guy to make it, or else this project's dead in the water. And so I had to step down, much to my horror and chagrin. All of a sudden, you know, within 12 months, Machete Maidens, which was about the films that I was the least interested in, the Roger Corman films and you know, the American films coming to the Philippines. So Search for Wang Wang was literally the dead duck in the corner. I had to wait until the film had done the rounds. I then managed to get the rights back for the original project and figured that really, you know, after having gone through the national broadcasters and funding bodies, I thought, man, the only way that I'm going to be able to retain control over this project is if I go DIY and go the Kickstarter route, go the crowdfunding routine. Kickstarter has, you know, literally just started, and we have 2 months to raise the 30 grand that we need to finish off the editing, get rights for clips, do music, do one more shoot, because I tracked down the director of Chop Suey Met Big Time Papa and Sila Sabawat. Again, it was one of those miraculous meetings where I just happened to be at a dinner table drinking with a bunch of old goons, and he's sitting at the end of the table sipping goat soup. I happened to be handing out my business card that had a picture of Wang Wang on it, and he said, I was Wang Wang's first director. I said, Chop Suey Met Big Time Papa? He said, yes! I said, Dante Boy Pangilinan? And he said, yes! And we ended up embracing each other like lost brothers. I was showing him my Wang Wang tattoo, and he's like, oh my God, you really are crazy. But then we went out, did karaoke, and now we're the best of friends.
So, Andrew, we're going to have links to your Kickstarter campaign over at the website, projection-booth.com. What are some of the goodies that you're going to be giving away for this? You know, that's what everybody has to ask, right? Like, what if I give you so much money, what are you going to give me in return?
Oh, man, we're going to go all out on the merch. We've got in the pipeline, you know, life-size Wang Wang cardboard cutouts, Agent 00 bobbleheads, double disc with about 10 hours of bonus footage on it, including the footage of Imelda Marcos kissing her frozen dead husband in a glass coffin. Holy crap, that I think is the money shot. Out of all of the other shots, that is the money shot for Search for Wang Wang. Posters, we've got premiere tickets. We're taking Search for Wang Wang on an international tour and doing a kind of live narration to the film in as many countries as we can possibly nab. I'm now fielding requests from Stockholm and Belgium, Thailand, Germany. I've got a feeling that I'm going to be doing something like 10 to 20 cities across North America, Toronto, Vancouver I've got offers from. So I think second half of 2013, everything will be Wang Wang.
So what if I want to make just a small contribution, you know, petite, like a potato?
Well, I think up to $10, you can certainly do that out of the goodness of your heart. Once you hit the $10 mark, we're giving stuff back. We are giving out, we're dishing out the goodies. And it's going to be everything from, you know, postcards to stickers to comic book by a friend of ours in the Philippines who did one that's kind of loosely based on For Your Height Only, but also has Wang Wang's life story threaded through it. There's going to be a ton of neat stuff. And I think the pièce de résistance is the executive producer package, where for $10,000 US, you get a plane ticket, a return plane ticket to Manila, and a personalized guided tour of Wang's hometown. You get to meet the family, you get a pilgrimage to the grave, you get a midget bar crawl. We go from Hobbit House to Ringside, a dwarf boxing ring, on a Monday, of course, otherwise it wouldn't be a midget Monday. And basically a week of hanging out with goons and doing film screenings in Wang Wang's hometown. If no one takes that one up, you're all crazy. You're all nuts.
I just want to know about the X-ray specs.
Oh, dude, I never even thought of doing up some Wang Ray specs. That's genius. I'm putting it on my wish list. I swear to God, you're a genius.
All right, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back after a preview from next week's show.
Coming soon, a film by John Dahl, director of Red Rock West. Linda Fiorentino is Bridget, and Bridget is bad, bad to the bone.
You have your own place?
Yes.
Is it a sty?
No, it's clean.
Do you have indoor plumbing?
Bill Pullman is her loving husband, Clay.
Bridget!
And he wishes he never met her.
She stole a fortune from me after making me steal it. But she's not willing to give it up.
It's mine, you hit me.
Hey!
Can he afford a good lawyer?
Not anymore.
Peter Berg as Mike is about to join her.
How about us going out on an actual date sometime, you know?
Why?
On a roller coaster ride of desire.
I love you. I'm sure you feel the same way. I'm sure you love you too.
You have a way of making a woman feel like a one-way train ticket.
Greed.
I borrowed 100K from a man whose first and last names end in vowels. I hired a private detective for 50%. But I am perfectly willing to spend all of the money in hiring a clinical sociopath to take it from you. Just for fun! And revenge.
Wendy, maybe it's my quaint small-town morals, but I don't do murder.
Yeah, well, you would if you loved me. Is it the morality of murder that bothers you or the personal risk?
Murder? Is commitment?
Yeah, when I've done it and you haven't, it is.
Let's go for a little drive. You're crazy.
You, me, $3 million?
And all I have to do is kill someone while you go apartment hunting?
Lady, you had your fun.
New York City, Mike.
I'm here to rob the place.
I thought you were the new decorator.
Where does this end with you?
Ow!
What the hell are you doing?
Anybody checked you for a heartbeat lately?
Linda Fiorentino, Peter Berg, Bill Pullman.
You better run!
The Last Seduction. In a town called Beston, there is a woman who can't control her natural instincts.
I baked you some cookies.
All right, we'll be back next week with a discussion of John Dahl's The Last Seduction. Now, before we leave, just want to thank our special guest, Andrew Leopold.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you. It's been really a pleasure talking to you. And thanks to everyone out there for listening to the show. Be sure to stop by the site, get over to that Kickstarter, and let's help the search for Wang Wang come to be.
Before you bust the blood vessel. Interpol here.
Hey, yo, we good to go? Hell yeah, it's Agent Double O. Don't want no trouble, those are your best. Put your weapon down slow. Keep your hands low down where he can see them. To put them up high, he's a tiny human being. Guaranteeing security to Filipino citizens. It's all the same thing to Wang Wang, guilty, innocent. He got his own style, he's got a cute little smile. In fact, one time he even got picked up by a pedophile. Kill that, he skilled at the art of attack. He got a razor blade, had a little guy in a rocket pack. He doesn't like booze, so never pour him a shot of scotch. Just give him a coke and you won't get a pop in the crotch. These movies you love to watch, you know that they all sweet. Wang Wang is doing this thing, staying under 3 feet. They say that he's whack, that he's weak, yeah, yo, you know what? They say that in the Philippines, and watch out for the bowl cut.
We caught, cause you just finished the heist. Got through the SWAT, lots of cops, so you're thinking you nice. Mastermind, genius thief, you think you already own the title. From behind you hear the whine of a mini motorcycle. We roll up quick with 2'6" of trouble on top. You shoot some look crooks, get shook and you can feel your heart stop. The kind of man that can chill you right through to your soul. He shouts, pull over to the side of the road, I'm Interpol. Best oblige and subside, cause if not you're sure to die. Buy a boat staff to go mad, suicide in your eye. Try and flip the script, if he's outnumbered and underhanded. He's outstanding, he can jump the Grand Canyon. The land of the mini bandit. Fighting for justice, he'll never lose. Finest barbers and tailors, he know he's always looking smooth. He'll take you out without a doubt. Boom, bitty, bang, bang. My advice to criminals is stay the fuck away from Wang Wang.
Wang, 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 2'9". He'll kick you in the nutsack from behind.
If you think Wang, Wang's coming soft to slack, never that, never that, never that. He's
back on the scene as the man who just cash checks and have sex. He's seen your mama naked with his high-tech mod spec.
Birds in hotel rooms never giving a shit. If he sees a naked bitch, best believe she get a tender kiss.
After busting some heads, y'all could catch him at the disco. Rocking up skirts and clocking more thongs than Cisco.
Staying alive is no jive when he dance. The women cry, they get hypnotized by his hips swinging.
swinging side to side.
These fake secret agents trying to front, but they get played. Wang Wang could piss Brosnan with a katana blade.
Leave you in the hospital, your condition is critical. You're finished, bro. Even the doctor sounded a little cynical.
You're such a little guy, though. Very petite, like a potato.
Yeah, let's go.
Yo, man, I tell you what.
Hey, I can't believe what happened. It's a boy.
Hey.
What happened? I can't believe it. Where did he come from? Whoa, pretty boy. Yeah. Aren't you a pretty boy? Handsome, dude. Oh, yes. Yes.
This is it, kid.
It was a wonderful evening. Thank you.